ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch?
And joining us is Wenli Ma, TV and film critic for news.com.au. Wenli, good evening. Welcome back to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us too. Well, what did you think? Succession, the final episode. No spoilers.
We don't want to go to hell or spend eternity with the Roys. It was so good. I was so satisfied. I thought they earned that ending. It was, you know, things were resolved, but enough things were left open that you can imagine that these characters continue to just go on as we're not watching.
Yeah. No, I thought so too. I thought it was artistically very satisfying. I thought it made sense. It made sense. It didn't put, you know, there were no rabbits out of hats, which would have been wrong.
Yes. If they'd taken this really bizarre left turn, or if they, you know, anointed.
No deus ex machina. So
no deus ex machina. No Bran sits on the Iron Throne.
That's right. No. It was, the characters end up doing pretty much what the characters would do.
Yes. It makes total thematic sense.
It makes absolute sense. Yes. No, a triumph of TV writing. Jesse Armstrong was just reading an interview, said he doesn't know whether he could do that again.
Yeah.
Maybe he can't.
Maybe this is his magnum opus. This is the apex of his career.
That would be okay, wouldn't it?
It would. I mean, that I'd be pretty proud looking back going, that's what the best thing I made. I made that.
I wrote that and show ran it.
I expect more things from him, and I'm excited to see what he does next.
Yes, exactly. Do we know any projects that he's involved?
No, nothing he's shared publicly. I think that Succession was on the cards for more than 10 years, maybe, from the first iteration of where it started. And I think it was a TV play or a production or a stage production or something. It took them that long to get it on air and for us to be in this moment going, how are we going to replace our schedules with something even half as good?
You know what, though? Relatively few people saw it because of where it was. You know, it was on a subscription TV channel, which, as we know, they don't have huge numbers.
So. No, they don't.
SBS or somebody should grab it.
Hopefully they do, and there'll be a second chance for lots of people to watch it. Hmm. I think the ratings for Succession, even in the US, where it is also on subscription television, were never that high.
No, it was
never Game of Thrones level.
No, not at all. And in this country, they were very small figures.
Yeah. But the way it just captured the cultural conversation and how deeply obsessive people became about it, I think, there's nothing else quite like that around. Like, you know, there are people who can watch, say, Dharma on Netflix and be really obsessed with it for 2 weeks and then they just forget it ever existed.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, onwards. A lot of excitement in the US last weekend, the Memorial Day weekend, when the live-action remake of The Little Mermaid opened and brought in over $100 million in North America, knocking off Fast X, which is no less than the 10th installment of the Fast and Furious franchise, knocked it out of the top spot. Anyway, what did you think, The Little Mermaid?
I loved the 1989 animated classic. I hadn't actually seen it in about 15, maybe 20 years, but it's so deeply embedded, I think, in my psyche. The songs are just earworms that, you know, I'm still singing the songs after seeing The Little Mermaid last week. And so it is really hard with a Disney live action movie to go in and go, I'm going to look at this with fresh eyes. It doesn't come with the loaded baggage of what came before, except that it does. And you never really escape that. And I think a lot of the problems I have with a lot of these Disney live action remakes is not whether or not they're creatively bankrupt and only exist for box office. I'll let everyone else make up their minds about that. It's whether or not it can stand on its own, whether or not I can escape from thinking about the animated classic that it was remaking. And with this one, I absolutely didn't, because I think they're almost too reverent of the original. They're so preoccupied with not upsetting people by doing too many things that are different or taking it too far or updating it too much that they get stuck in this space where it's just kind of mimicry with a few updates. I mean, and I appreciated the updates. The character of Prince Eric has been expanded, so he's not just some hot guy that she rescued. They actually have shared interests and a shared philosophy on looking at the world. So it's not just like, he hot, I'm gonna shack up with him for the rest of my life and give up like everything I know. So I do like that, and it seems like there is more a wider groundedness to why she wants to discover and explore this other world beyond her own. But at the same time, I just kept watching it going, and I know what scene is coming up next. I know what beat is coming up next. So it is this weird chase of expectation. So it is kind of, I don't even want to say that it's a pale imitation, because it almost doesn't even feel like it gets to that level, because okay. You can't separate it from the original.
Here it is, the Little Mermaid. Abandoned ship!
You broke the rules. You went to the above world.
A man was drowning. I had to save him.
This obsession with humans has to stop.
I just want to know more about them. Ariel!
Child,
I can help you. You can't live in that world unless you become a human yourself.
Is that even possible?
It's what I live for.
Something about you seems different. I can't quite figure it out.
She got legs, you idiot.
He's a human. You're a mermaid.
But that doesn't make us enemies.
What's the best thing about it? Halle Berry?
Yeah, Halle Bailey.
Bailey, sorry. Halle Bailey. Sorry, Bailey. Yeah.
It's really hard. I've been calling her either Halle Berry or Hailey Bailey for weeks now. Halle Bailey is really good. She's really good in this. Okay. Her voice is incredible, and I think she brings a lot of emotion when she sings. And so, like, she's a great Ariel. It's just they haven't quite built a movie around her that's all hers.
All right, in cinemas, The Little Mermaid. Stars for Little Mermaid?
2.5.
2.5.
Somewhere in the middle.
Okay. All righty. Now, Deadlock, a new 8-part Australian comedy TV series.
Yeah, this is funny. Are you a fan of the two Kates, Kate McCartney and Kate McLennan?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
They did Get Kraken and the catering show.
That's when I last saw them. Yeah.
And they haven't done anything since, I think. So they're very funny, really kind of offbeat humor, very Australian humor, which I always appreciate. So they have this new series. It's out on stream. It's on Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's called Deadlock. It is set in Tasmania in a small town called Deadlock, which doesn't really exist. And it's a murder mystery comedy. So you've got this town in Tassie. They're preparing for their winter festival. And the thing that ruins any festivity is a dead body on the beach.
Yes.
So a local man is found dead. The local police department isn't that equipped to handle a homicide. So they get a blow-in from the capital cities. She's actually from Darwin, this other detective. And she is pure chaos. She's loose, she's everywhere. And so you've got these two cops, both women, one kind of straight-laced, played by Kate Box, and one very chaotic, played by a New Zealand actor called Madeline Sami, who's also very funny. Mm-hmm. And so you've got this dynamic of the unusual buddy cop dynamic, and also just the secrets of this town that just becomes, you know, part of the investigation, and all these bizarre characters, including the mayor, played by Susie Youssef. There is a forensics guy, played by Tom Ballard. It's very funny. It's quirky. You know, it's kind of not quite a piss take on the whole noir detective genre, but it is also a little bit
of
a piss take.
It sounds like what's like a comedic Broadchurch or something, isn't it?
Yes, not unlike that at all. The only thing I will say about Deadlock that I personally thought, oh, is when I opened it, I was like, oh, they're hour-long episodes.
That's too long. So.
It's a little bit long. I would have loved something at 30, 40 minutes, and I think then the rhythm would have been a bit more.
8 hours of comedy drama. Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot. I think the rhythms could have been a lot faster. The joke ratios would have been higher if it had been a bit shorter.
But the two Kates aren't in it, are they?
They're not in it, but they've written it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they're the runners, the writers and producers of it. Yeah, okay. Stars for it?
Three and a half.
3.5.
Let's go 3.5.
Okay, Deadlock. Here is a little from it.
Recruited an interstate detective to lead the case.
Yes, sir.
Eddie Redcliffe is my name. The first 24 hours of an investigation are crucial.
He was discovered 27 hours ago, ma'am.
Ah, right. Hey, you f***ed that up already, haven't you?
What's this? 5 years ago, Deadlock's mayor washed up dead on the same beach.
And according to this, his tongue was eaten by a seal. What?
Get your gun.
What? No.
Get your gun.
If you have information about the murders,
you can just write a note and put it in the anonymous tip-off koala. I think
they're
watching
me. The killer has been living under my nose in Deadlock for 5 years. I probably know him.
I'd like to take a look in that sawmill, Phil.
Would you? You know what you need for that.
warrant.
So good to feel the heat from all sides. That way you get cooked alive faster.
Ambitious undertaking.
It is. But they've got a great cast of talent. I think the writing is really sharp and it is really funny. And there is a specificity to Australian humour. You know, if you think of like Derry Girls from Northern Ireland, you know, this is similar in the way that it feels so specific to our way of life and our humour. But I think hopefully in an expanded world where we're all talking about each other's stories and watching them more, it will travel beyond our shores.
Okay, Deadlock. It's called Deadloch. Deadloch. 3.5 stars. Topic, and then the third one, Dracula is back. Yes. Well, sort of. Dracula is in it, but this is not actually about Dracula. It's about Renfield.
I remember reading Dracula in high school because I was such a big fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I thought,
everyone in the world was.
Exactly. And I was like, I've got to read Dracula. It's the original, you know. Yeah. It's Bram Stoker. It's this very dense epistolary novel. And so if you've ever read Dracula or know any of the stories, Renfield is his familiar. It's his servant. He's the creepy little guy who eats a lot of bugs.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yep. He is the sidekick, but now he gets to be the main character in his story. And essentially, he's been Dracula's servant, I guess, familiar for almost 100 years. It's set in the modern world. And they're using the story, the relationship between Dracula and Renfield, as basically a toxic relationship, codependencies. And he finds himself at a support group for people in toxic relationships. Extremely modern.
Come on.
It is a 93-minute comedy with a lot of action, a lot of gore. It stars Nicholas Holt, who I think is very funny. He's in The Great. He's in The Favourite. He was in The True History of the Kelly Gang. He does, I keep saying the word chaotic, but he does chaotic energy really well. Mm-hmm. And then adding to that chaos is Nick Cage as Dracula. Which feels like it's the role Nick Cage was born to play, even though I feel like every role that Nick Cage plays is the role Nick Cage was born to play.
This is a bit from it. Renfield.
Are you okay? I need to get out of a toxic relationship. Why don't you start by telling us what brought you here?
My boss, he's different.
You can't get him out of your head.
No.
I need your assistance.
I'm coming, Martha!
Renfield. Bring in innocent victims. I want a handful of nuns, a busload of cheerleaders.
And I just want a normal life again.
Hi, are you here for the meeting? Well, come on.
No!
Some call me the Dark One. Others, the Lord of Death. To most, I am Dracula.
Okay, obviously we're dealing with a little bit more than just narcissism here.
Now, let's eat.
Oh dear, I can see it's funny.
Yeah, I will say the trailer is better than the movie.
Okay.
So, like, it's goofy and it's gory and violent and harmless, but I do feel like the rhythms of it are a little bit off. Like, each joke is played a little too long, and I don't know if that was in the editing or if it was in the direction, but there is something just a little bit off about it. But if you see that come up on a streaming service in a few months' time and it's Friday night and you've got your Thai takeaway, have a go.
Have a go. Stars?
2.5.
2.5. Okay, this is the trouble. We're all in that kind of mood at the moment, aren't we? Because with the end of Succession, we can't think there's going to be anything good ever again.
I have faith in television writers who are, of course, in America on strike. But when they get back, I'm sure they will make another masterpiece.
Indeed. Wenli, great to talk.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.